This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The runners lead and go in the pitch. Swinging a ground ball up the middle and sliding
by Swanson. Oh, kicked it. Kicked it. We're going to score two.
It's still untouched. Here comes Reynolds in to score. The Pirates take the lead after Dansby Swanson kicked the ball away at short. Sometimes you need a little good luck.
How about that? All they have to do is stop it and we don't score even one run. But he kicked it all the way out in the right field. We score everybody.
He was trying to just smother that ball and instead it shot into shallow right center field from the shortstop position into no man's land. And McCutchen brings them both in. He's standing at second base. An incredible turn of events.
Somebody has fallen out of the stands.
We need to pause here. I think everybody is just now realizing what has happened. And I'm going to be intentionally quiet here. There are players kneeling and looking in the direction of right field. There's a crew of folks right now, medical personnel, attending to a person who was lying on the warning track at the foot of the Clemente Wall, which, as we know, is 21 feet tall. And we know nothing more than that right now.
So we edited that so that we could fit it in. But what you heard from Joe Block there really took place over the course of like 10 minutes. I mean, they let the situation breathe. Here's the latest we know. And you can find a lot of information right now on 93.7thefan.com. Allegheny General Hospital spokesperson Dan Laurent confirmed to KDKA TV's Jennifer Barrasso that this man who is in his 20s was taken to the AGH Trauma Center. He was in critical condition. They're saying he has a skull fracture. That's the information we have at this time. Now, there is a video circulating. The TV broadcast would not show what happened for obvious reasons. If you want it, you can find it. I didn't seek it out necessarily. It found me. It is very disturbing. So I would warn people, if you're not into looking for stuff like that, probably don't. And it'll probably get into your algorithm on the X because of the Pirates. But obviously, as scary a situation as we've seen take place at PNC Park, Doran, and people are going to speculate on what happened, and I don't think there's a place for us, obviously, to do that. I know I can speak for everyone when I say thoughts and prayers go out, and you hope for the best in what sounds like a horrific and what looked like a horrific situation, but I can't recall anything like that happening at a sporting event apart from the DeMar Hamlin incident a couple of years ago, and obviously that was a player on the field taking part in a violent game.
Yeah, I'm sure things like this have happened. In the last 30, 40 years, I'm sure that they've happened before, but it's just terrible to watch that video and it's one thing to see tweets about it, then it's another thing to see the video and just being like, wow, like, you know, and as you just said very perfectly, I'm not into the speculation at this point of what the reasoning could be around it. I just know that it's awful, and then that person, he was with a couple friends from what I read, and just the people at PNC Park, to experience that is awful. Very awful.
Derek Shelton didn't get into any of the baseball stuff after the game, and it was a big win for the Pirates. And we'll get into the game itself coming up in the next segment. But he didn't feel like it was right to talk about the game. The clubhouse was closed after the game, which I thought was also the right thing to do. You could see Andrew McCutchen visibly shaken at second base. I mean, that was the play of the game. We wanted to include everything for the context. Visibly shaken. You had all the Cubs out there praying. You had Shelton and the manager of the Cubs run out to alert the umpires. The umpires, as Shelton said after the game, they didn't see it because of the way the ball had kicked.
Right.
They're following the play. You're following the ball. You're following the base runners. You're making sure everything is going right there. So they didn't see it. And kudos to the Pirates training staff, the Cubs training staff. They were the first ones out there. They sprinted directly to right field. It did also look like, I think, a friend had worked their way down to the lower fence there in center field, right center field, to jump down and then attend to their friend too. So obviously a terrifying situation. I will say this about the people speculating. We're not going to speculate, as we've said. There are people out there speculating, oh, alcohol had to be involved, or oh, he threw himself off. This isn't the time for speculation. And let's just say there was booze involved. It doesn't mean the guy deserved it. I've seen some awful, cruel things on social media. And I think that's the minority, because I think Pittsburgh rallies around people.
Mm-hmm.
We got a great town like that. But nobody should feel like they go to a baseball game and that they could fall and be injured in that way.
Yeah.
So just a terrible situation at PNC Park. We hope the young man is okay. We hope the family and friends are with him and that they're okay. Because just not something you expect to be watching, not something you expect to be talking about, frankly, the next morning. There was the Texas Rangers fan who fell from the left field seats behind the out-of-town scoreboard and died. I think it was Josh Hamilton who threw him a baseball, and he was reaching over to get the ball, and he fell.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I also remember one, I think it was at Wrigley.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet one about Wrigley.
Yeah. And then there was another at Yankee Stadium, and the way that Yankee Stadium, before netting was all the way down the first and third base lines, the Yankees had it where above home plate, they had a net too. So you had a net above home plate that would connect down all the way down behind the screen where you foul balls off so people, you know, don't get hit. And someone fell on top of that netting and had to climb their way back up. That happened like 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just fell right into the netting like a circus act.
Yeah, like a, yep.
You're doing the high wire act.
Yeah.
Obviously, jeez, if there's any news on this, hopefully good news, we will let you know. And you can find out more on 93.7thefan.com. Out of respect for this individual, we're going to break here before we get into any trivial matters like the sports. Sports seem trivial when something like this happens. So we'll get into the sports. We'll get into the actual game. We'll get into the Penguins' search for a head coach.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
0-2 to John Birdie. Strike three call. Throws him on a curveball. And the Pirates beat the Cubs 4-3 to even the series.
Weird night at the ballpark, let's just call it what it is, a terrifying scene in right field as a man fell from the Clemente wall. AGH spokesperson said it is a skull fracture. He was transported in critical condition. If any more information should become available, we will, of course, pass it on to you. And you can go to 937thefan.com for more information. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I mean, there was a pall over the entire game after that.
Yeah.
You could tell that it was weighing heavy on the players, on the managers, on the umpires, on the people who were in attendance. The game went on. We will talk about baseball. Again, our thoughts and prayers go to this man, his family. Hopefully they can find comfort, and hopefully he can make a full and quick recovery. So the Pirates do win the baseball game, and they had lost three in a row. They were sitting 8 games under .500, 11-19. The way we talked about them yesterday and the station talked about them, and Pirates fans were talking about them, felt like kind of the low point of the season. You had been shut out. You give up 9 runs. You just don't look competitive. And then you're handing the ball over to Carmen Majinski. And I'm thinking, this is bad. But it might still be bad. I mean, they got to go like 74-58 the rest of the way, 73 now, woohoo, and 58 the rest of the way to even have a shot at making the playoffs. But if we're looking to bottle optimism, I'm going to try this. We need a little optimism today.
I like it.
Right? Let's a little something here. So you take 2 out of 3 from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. You lose the series against the Dodgers. Okay, there's no crime there. I mean, you didn't play well. In the final game, the second game, I kind of feel like the manager blew it. But you go 3-3 on the West Coast road trip. If you get a Skeens victory today, he's on the bump, 12-35. You've won a series against the first place team in your division.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're 5-4 in your last 9, and it does kind of feel like things have stabilized. Now, if you zoom out, you think, okay, Tommy Pham's in the lineup every day, and Adam Frazier can't really hit, and they're not scoring enough runs. And there's a lot of reason to not believe in this team, but you need to stabilize the ship before you can right the ship. And if you win the series today, I think maybe you can exhale a little bit. Maybe you could say, all right, let's wait and see. You pointed it out yesterday. This schedule is tough. A bear.
Mm-hmm.
But Chicago's really good. They're in first place. They hadn't played a team up until the Pirates with a losing record this season, and they're still a first-place team. This is a really good baseball club, and I'm not saying the Pirates are definitely going to win today. Even with Skeens on the mound, they're not the betting favorite. But crazier things have happened than Paul Skeens beating the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
You go out there, win today, you're 5-4 in your last 9, and you've taken 2 series of 2 pretty good baseball teams with the Dodgers in the middle. Okay, maybe you exhale. Does anybody see a silver line? Does anybody see a light at the end of the tunnel? Does anybody have hope? I don't know. I'm asking.
Not really.
Okay, good.
No, not really. But, I mean, if you do want to find any type of consistency where you can dig yourself out of a hole, and even if you dig yourself out of a hole, it's not going to be the best, but if you can try to do that, which they are right now, it's winning games like you did yesterday with Majinski on the mound.
Great point.
Like that, those are the games that, you know, you have to steal. You have to win, and you clearly have to win the Skeens games. Hit or miss, I guess, with Mitch Keller. And, you know, obviously, he had that good game. Who was it against at home?
St. Louis.
But you have to win the games like you did yesterday if you want to climb out of that hole and find any type of consistency. Not saying that it's going to be a good consistency. It's going to lead to, you know, multiple victories to get yourself in competitive range. But just to get yourself out of the hole, the games yesterday are very, very important. And, like, I can live with the Heaney game. I mean, I know it was awful.
One bad start.
But, like, the guy has been pretty good.
He's been outstanding.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I expect him to bounce back.
He retired 13 Cubs in a row before they started teeing off on him. I mean, he was even good before he was bad in that game. You're right. I mean, for all the Ben Cherington criticism, and all of it is absolutely warranted, that was a hell of a find.
Yeah.
Andrew Heaney.
Yeah.
And I was about to go on a rant today if what happened obviously didn't happen last night and had the Pirates lost the Carmen Majinski start, because he cruised again, man, through three innings. Through four innings, and then he didn't get help from our guy Joey Bart behind the plate on a couple of instances, but it all went to hell in a handbasket. Why? Because it always does, because he's a reliever. And maybe I should still go on the rant anyhow. It'll be a little bit more muted for obvious reasons, but Bubba Chandler started yesterday. I didn't see what he did. I'll look that up here in a second, but he had an ERA under two going into last night's start. His start lined up with Majinski. Get him up here.
Mm-hmm.
Skeens started his first game in the majors May 10th.
Yeah.
It is now May 1st. Put Bubba Chandler in the rotation, put Carmen Majinski in the bullpen, and you will be a better baseball team for it. But every team, good or bad, every year we see it, is going to go on a hot streak. Even bad teams will find they'll have stretches where they'll win 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Seven out of ten.
The White Sox did last year.
Six in a row. Right. They might not have, actually.
I think they did like three.
They had a three-game winning streak.
I think it was.
Which for them, I mean, playing the parade, every team's going to go on a little hot streak. That's just the way baseball works. You got to get yourself back within striking distance of 500, and then you would have to hope, and this is if they're to contend for anything this year, and this all might be pie in the sky, but if they're going to contend for anything this year, you got to keep winning series, and then you hope you hit a hot streak where you're starting pitching just three times through the rotation, which it's capable of, is pitching lights out, and that's how this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
You would also need a guy like Brian Reynolds to come around,
yes,
who has had as bad of a start this year as he's had in his career, and he's historically a slow starter. He busted out of it a little bit last night, maybe a lot of bit of it. You hope it's a lot of it. 2-for-4 with an extra base hit. He needed that. He was 0 for his last 20. Andrew McCutchen's been hitting the ball really well. Joey Bart's been really good at the plate. O'Neill Cruz is starting to come around looking like a superstar. So if you're looking for reasons for optimism, I've just laid some of those out. Because I feel like we kind of need that a little bit today.
We do.
You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Guess who's managing the team today? Donnie Kelly. Derek Shelton's son is graduating college.
Oh.
So he will be at the commencement. So we will get a look at Donnie Kelly.
Okay.
Which I'm interested in.
Very.
Is he going to let Paul Skeens go deeper into the game? How's he manage the bullpen? What's his pinch hitter rate going to be? I'm interested for obvious reasons. I don't really feel like calling for Derek Shelton's name for him to be fired today again for obvious reasons. But hey, I think all of us Pirates fans should be paying special attention to how this game is managed today by not Derek Shelton. I think that is going to be fascinating to watch. It might not be all that different. Yeah, the roster is what it is.
Right. How much different do you think you could find?
Well, because here's the way it's probably going to go. I mean, I know the Cubs score a ton of runs, but it's Paul Skeens. It's at home. It's going to be hot today. He says he likes that. The velocity should be up. I thought it might have worked in his favor when it was cold because you don't want to face that guy. Get in on your hands when it's like 36 degrees. I think he prefers it hot.
Yeah.
It's not like he didn't pitch in the high altitude whenever he was at Air Force, but this guy went to LSU. throws hard.
From Cali, right?
Yeah, you're going to see some triple digits today. I think it's going to go like this. He's going to pitch seven innings, something like that. And then you're not going to have to manage the bullpen all that much. You're going to have to throw three arms out there maybe. And so you might not get a lot. Now, strategic, you know, bunting situations, you know, intentional walks, things like that, hit and run, pinch hits. Like, okay, we'll pay attention, but I don't know that this is going to be one of those games where he's going to have six relievers and he's mixing and matching and figuring all that out.
Are we done with Holderman?
Oh, yeah, we're done.
I think kind of have to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, he would be a DFA candidate for me. I hate to say that, but this is the life of a reliever in Major League Baseball. It's what made Neil Huntington so good at his job relative to other Pirates general managers that we've watched. He would get guys off the scrap heap like Joel Hanrahan, and they would be elite. Mark Melancon came in, became elite. Guys who had struggled previously at their other stops. Jason Grilli, a great example of that, who had an up-and-down career, comes in here and was an elite closer for a period. Guys are going to have ups. They're going to have downs in the bullpen. This guy, if there's waxing and waning, he's waning. He is at a low point. He's throwing meatballs. He threw one of the worst pitches I ever saw the other day.
Unbelievable.
Third pitch of the game for a home run, just a hanging breaking ball right down the middle. You can't throw him out there. Your season is on the brink already. And we've talked about this. The lack of urgency from them, from the general manager on down, is astounding to me when these guys have to understand that they are managing and general managing for their jobs. How do you keep throwing that guy out there? He doesn't have it anymore. Now, on the flip side, Bednar got the save last night, and he has looked every bit as good as the all-star he was prior to last season.
Yeah.
Since he's come back.
It worked for him.
It worked for him, but Holderman didn't even pitch well, dude, in the rehab assignment. So there's your injury report, brought to you by Shenorovich, Shenorovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. He comes up from the IL and gives up a homer in each appearance. You just can't. You just can't roll him out there. And that's another reason this Majinski thing's just driving me nuts. I think Majinski's a heck of a reliever. I do. But what you're doing every fifth day is you're taxing the bullpen because he can't go deep into the game unless you're going to piggyback Harrington off of him. And I didn't see that he was officially called up. They had to go with four relievers after Majinski yesterday. Borecki goes one. Shugart goes 1 2/3, which, I mean, you get a little length out of him. Ferguson, all those guys have been great this year. But now you're there. You know that if Carmen Majinski is starting, you're going to have to roll through your bullpen when you've got Bubba Chandler mowing dudes down in AAA. What are we doing?
Got to come up.
He's got to come up. And this is when Skeens came up. This is when Bubba Chandler should come up. And that should be your rotation the rest of the season. Unless you would move Vahiny if he pitches so well, or a Falter if he's pitching well and you want to create room for another starter. I don't know. But Bubba Chandler needs to be up here now. And Majinski needs to move to the bullpen. And he needs to take Colin Holderman's role. Maybe not the eighth inning, but add another dynamic arm to this already dynamic arm bullpen. Mostly the bullpen settled in. And you're going to still shoehorn Holderman in there? It's a joke. I guess I could find it in my heart to be critical today, Dory.
Yeah, you weren't that bad.
I've been worse.
Yeah.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Sarah Sivian used to work in this town. She went to Penn State. She's a really good hockey writer. She writes for a bunch of different outlets right now. She writes for the Bleacher Report, and that's where she ranked the eight openings, the head coachless teams in the NHL. She ranked from least desirable to most desirable. How desirable does she think this Penguins job is? Josh Yowie wrote about it yesterday in The Athletic. Texter. The Pirates are minus 145 today. Significant favorites, moron. How are you always wrong about every fact that you say, moron? To which I replied on the text line. We like the back and forth. You seem like a swell guy. He said, thanks, man. You too. Love the show.
Oh, nice.
I glanced last night. I saw the Cubs as a small favorite. Perhaps I dreamt it, but I did not look this morning, and for that I apologize. Yeah. God, okay. stupid. It's what okay. am I doing?
It's okay. It'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
It'll be fine.
You can give us a ring. You can make fun of me there. On the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It is May 1st. The Penguins aren't playing. That sucks. We got so used to that over the years. Sarah Sivian of the Bleacher Report, she ranked the teams that have a head coaching vacancy in order of least desirable to most desirable. There are eight. The Rangers, the Flyers, the Ducks, the Bruins, the Kraken, the Penguins, and the Blackhawks. Did I get all eight?
I think so.
She had the Penguins the third most desirable behind Chicago and Anaheim.
Least desirable. Or most desirable.
Depends on which way. It would have been fifth least desirable, third okay. most desirable.
All right.
She had Chicago and Anaheim ranked ahead of Pittsburgh as a destination a coach should want to go to. We already know that David Carl, the head coach of Denver University, turned down Chicago. So if she's got the Penguins as a least desirable place to be, then serves to reason he wouldn't want to come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I agree with her ranking or not. I think she does a great job. This isn't personal, anything like that. But I think the Penguins' job is more desirable than Chicago's. But I don't know that I agree that it's more desirable than, like, the Rangers.
No. I think that Chicago would be more desirable because you have a Bedard.
You have Bedard.
It's a young, possible Crosby. Or you want an old Crosby and have to deal with that. An old, established Crosby and having to facilitate a rebuild with also appeasing an old, established Crosby.
That was her logic, too. And Connor Bedard is 19 years old. And I'm going to say something that I am sure I'm going to regret, and people can call me a moron for years to come. I don't know that he's that good. I mean, for me, he's definitely not the next Crosby. He is good. Crosby at 18 had 100 points. At 19, he had 120 points. This guy's putting up 61 and 67. It's a bad set of circumstances around him.
Yeah.
No one would argue that he has the cast of characters around him that Crosby did. And Crosby benefited
from that.
Could
you put the cast of characters, if you were allowed to, around him? And would he be good?
David Carl seems to think no, but I understand exactly what you're saying and what Sarah Sivian put out there. Would you rather have a 19-year-old who has superstar potential or a 37-year-old who God knows how long he's even going to be here? I would rather go coach a contender.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm a 35-year-old, maybe you're right. Maybe Carl's got it all wrong. Maybe you do want to go and grow with Bedard in Chicago, and now you guys are tied at the hip, and if you have success, you have success. If you don't, you get let go. If it were me, I'd want to go coach the Rangers. Now, they have a toxic culture there. There are all kind of stuff that was going on there, but they were a President's Trophy winning team 2 years ago. They had 90 points this season. Did they? No, they were contending for a playoff spot this season. It fell apart late for them, in large part because of that toxic situation that they had going on there, but the right guy could get them back to the playoffs and in contention immediately. They have the best goaltender arguably on planet Earth in Shesterkin. I would pick the Rangers. What are the selling points, though, of this Penguins job, though?
Man, that's a good discussion topic there, because I don't know, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and knowing that Dubas has full control, I don't know, like, if I'm a coach and I have an opportunity, like, I want some control. Like, I don't want the GM to have full. And you look at this situation. He just fired Sullivan, and he's taken, you know, onus for it. Like, he's going to have full control. Like, what is your say-so going to be? Like, is he just going to walk all over me and just kind of push every single button, and I'm going to just be stuck? Kind of like Shelton is a little bit.
It's funny you say that. I wrote down some selling points and some negatives, and that was one of my negatives. How much say are you really going to say?
Right.
Are you really going to have? Also, you're not going to have a great idea on when exactly the roster is going to be contender worthy. You don't know how long Sid's going to be here. You're saddled with Letang. The assumption there is that he's going to come back and play. He had the heart surgery. You just don't know. And I want to be delicate in criticizing the guy because, again, he just had heart surgery, but he was not good this year. This was the first year where he really, really fell off. Now, maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. But you figure he's not going to move. Who's going to trade for a guy that just got heart surgery that has a no-move clause? Even if he waives it, who's going to take on that risk for a guy in his 30s? You're not going to get anything. Like, I just don't
Rutherford.
Think. Rutherford? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. 100% the right answer. Doran, you get a sticker.
Or wherever Sullivan might go if he loves Letang.
Another good one.
Because he's probably going to go to a place where he has some control, you would assume. He's going to be like, look, I'm going to take a job where I have some say-so. So, and some influence, maybe there.
No one loves to trade for his old players more than Jim Rutherford does. Right. Both great points by you. Hadn't considered it. Chris Letang, you could have communication, honest communication with Rutherford, and Rutherford's going to buy into you telling the truth. And same thing with Sullivan. Sullivan saw him play this year. Now he also saw him deteriorate, but Sully also has faith in his guys.
And he wants some, I would want some familiarity. And having a guy that has been around me for so long to be able to infuse my style with other players, I kind of would want somebody that was a Chris Letang-like.
And Jim Rutherford made it pretty clear that he and Sullivan are not going to be working together.
Right.
That well, Sully wants to stay on the East Coast.
He says that now. I mean, what if all the opportunities don't fit and that one's the best one? I mean, it says that now, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it could always come back around. The Rangers could hire somebody else, sure. So could Boston.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I hope not, I don't think Sully would want to go to Philadelphia.
No.
I think Tockett wants to go there. I have been told that is probably more likely than Pittsburgh. But I'm not allowed to break news anymore. I'm not allowed to report anything.
I did see, I believe that TK said that Tockett isn't the right guy for the
Not job. A good fit.
Right.
He's in his 60s. He wants to win. He won championships here in Pittsburgh. He's a Philadelphia legend. It's going to be really tough if Sullivan is in New York and Tockett's in Philly, because we have an affinity for those guys. Mm-hmm. Those guys have been part of Penguins history. That would suck. I think that might be the most likely outcome, though. Here are the selling points for the Penguins job. Somebody help me with more. 412-928-9370. Doran, help me with more, and you could text us 412-928-9370. You have Sidney Crosby, at least for the beginning of your tenure, and just listening to Kyle Dubas, I think there would be a level of patience here. You're not going to get canned if you have two bad seasons. I don't think. You never know. It's hockey.
Right.
So it's, I'll even write that down as perceived patience. Those are the two selling points. Josh Yoey wrote glowingly about the fan base, and yeah, this is a great hockey market. It's one of the best hockey markets in this country, and I'd put it up against any Canadian market in North America. But when they're bad, and they are probably going to be bad for a year or two, according to Kyle Dubas, they're going to be at nights where there's 16,000 in there, not 19 or 14,000. Like, they're going to go through some lean times. That's the way it goes. I'm not sure fan base is a selling point. You win anywhere, people are going to pack the bar. Yeah. Look at Florida.
Yeah.
That place was jumping last night. And that's Florida. They got all kind of stuff to do. Believe me, you've been there. Go down to Miami Beach.
Yeah.
Go see boobs. See the prettiest people on planet Earth, male and female, walking around. There's a lot of stuff to do down there. They're packing the barn, even for regular season games when you win. I don't know if fan base is a selling point.
No, that's not. I mean, to me, the job, like the list would be like, you know, from best to worst, I need a goalie.
Yes.
I need a goalie. And that's why this is, that would be in a negative column for me. If I were looking at the Penguins as being a really good suit and really good situation to be the next head coach, because you do not have a goalie at all.
No. Well, they've got the guy in the AHL. He's never played.
Right.
He never played in the NHL.
I'm not going to rely on that.
So you can't mark that down as a sure thing. Definitely not. Here's a text, and it's a good one. Plethora of draft picks coming up and a GM with an affinity to spend. We do know Dubas likes to hunt the big fish. He did it in Toronto. He did it with Carlson. So there is that. And you do have these draft picks coming up. And I'm sure in the interview process, it'll be discussed chapter and verse whether those picks will be made or moved for young talent. I would put those in the positive category. However, you do need to compare the Penguins to the Joneses. How attractive is the job relative to the other jobs out there? They have $23 million in cap space. That's a ton. Anaheim has $38
million. Mm.
And they've got great young talent, and you'd get to live in California. And if fan base is allowed to be a selling point here in the eyes of some, then my God, the beaches of California get to be a selling point out there. But the taxes, people driving around screamed into the void. All right, is this a desirable place to land for a head coach? What would the selling points be? What are the detriments? What are the negatives? Sarah Sivian ranked the Penguins the third most desirable job or the fifth least desirable job, however you want to look at it. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. We'll talk to Ian's about that coming up next. How desirable is the Penguins head coaching job? 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Someone texts in, ownership is not heavy-handed and actually lets the GM work. That would be a positive. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd rather have Lemieux.
Yeah.
I'd rather have hockey people who let the GM do their job, but also know what the hell's going on with the hockey team and are present. Also, this just means Dubas has all the power, and the head coach is going to deal more with the general manager than he's going to deal with the ownership, and we clearly know the pecking order now. Sullivan predated Dubas. Sullivan was viewed as like the Belichick of this organization by the Fenway Sports Group.
Yeah.
Now Dubas is the man, and so you're going to have to carry out his vision. Like, make no mistake about that. Now, you might come in and be aligned in his vision, and so maybe it's a selling point, but make no mistake, it is his show.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be looked at as a negative, too.
Yeah. I don't know how much say-so you would have. Not much.
I would assume. So you're going to have to play young guys.
Unless you said, like, you're aligned, and, like, it's one of his, like, guys, maybe an assistant coach that he, you know, I don't know. Toronto, I don't know.
You would have to sell the vision that we're trying to get this thing going, and ideally while Crosby's around, but we're going to do that through young players.
It's almost impossible.
I don't know. Washington did it. I think they were better
suited to do it.
Yeah, but they hired the right coach. Like, you can, I don't think it would take, I don't think it's going to take 5 years. I think it's going to take probably 2 years. Ideally, you have to work. I mean, it's easier said than done. Like, it's easy for me to say this.
I just say, like, it's impossible because, like, you're going to, like, it's hard to have to, I guess the word would be appease to Crosby, Malkin, Letang if they're here, and also try to rebuild and get younger players and kind of put that together to try to win now, but not win now, but try to rebuild now. And, you know, those are big voices. Those are big voices on the ice every single day. Then you have the big voice that's standing up top watching you every single second. Like, that's a tough deal. Like, with Ovechkin, I don't know. Like, I just feel like this would be a harder situation than Washington with having to appease to Ovechkin because there's more guys that you have to appease to.
Yeah, and that's true. It's 1-3. And they made the playoffs the year
that too
prior, and the Penguins weren't even really sniffing the playoffs this season. So the Capitals were closer to it. I don't know what it even matters what Crosby says now. I mean, roll the pucks out and play. I mean, clearly he wasn't really part of this decision at all, if you believe Kyle Dubas. And even if you believe what we reported, which you should, that Mike Sullivan walked in there saying, hey, I need it to be this way or I'm out. He didn't have a say in that. Like, he wants to win every game. There's no question right about that. And that's hard. But I also think Sid is a good enough leader, and he understands the situation, and he's going to go lead by example like he always does. They have a whole bunch of draft picks coming up. You could trade some of those for good young players this offseason. You've got a ton of cap space, can create more by buying out a Jari or a Graves if they would decide to do something like that. Like, you can be fun and competitive next year and maybe not be a playoff team, but maybe be around it. And then the following year, you're going to have even more cap space, and you're not going to have Malkin, which you hate to say that, but that's probably going to be a good thing for them. And maybe the year after that is your window. That's how I have to look at it if you're coming in to take the job.
I mean, my thing is, and tell me if I'm off base here, like, if, say, Coach X gets hired, they have a certain system, a certain structure, Crosby sees that that's not the structure he can play in and be his highest level of production, you think Crosby's just going to just play in it, or you think he's going to be like, yeah, I think we should do things a little bit different?
I think he either plays in it or he's out.
Huh. And I don't think that Crosby would ever, he's not going to be like a, you know, ridiculous about it, but if he's like, yeah, I don't really work well doing this.
Like Mike Johnson's system.
Yeah, like it could be something little there. Do you think that the coach is going to have to take his, you know, his word and kind of alter his plan, or is he just going to stick with his plan? And I just feel like that would be tough.
I think you're going to feel emboldened by the general manager if you're the head coach.
Okay.
Now, you're right. You're going to have to deal with Crosby on a day-to-day basis. But I think the GM is hiring a coach who shares his vision, which is this year might not be a fun one, folks, or a good one at least. You can be bad and fun. That's kind of what I'm looking for this year. Bad, competitive, and fun. And maybe don't give up more goals than anybody else. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, Crosby, probably not happy with the way this season went, but we didn't hear a peep from him. We're never going to hear a peep from him. When we would hear it would be at the end of the season next year, like a year from now, when you find out, breaking news, the Penguins are interested in moving Sidney Crosby. I don't think he would peep up like publicly during the season at all.
No.
But this is not what it used to be. Duh. Mike Sullivan should have been thanking his lucky stars, and they should thank themselves for him, but he should have been thanking his lucky stars, and I know he was appreciative of his opportunity here because he had a chance to, I mean, it's a perfect turnkey job at that point. Mike Johnson should have been thanking his lucky stars. It didn't work out for him, but it was a turnkey operation. Dan Bylsma, turnkey operation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you walk in and like you know your floor is you're getting knocked out in the playoffs and everyone's pissed at you, but your ceiling is obviously winning multiple championships.
Guys in their prime.
Yeah. Mm. Now,
man.
Now you have to have what I do not have, which is total full faith in Kyle Dubas. If you were taking the job, it's more, honestly, man, if you're taking the job, it's more about your faith in Dubas than anything, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Do you trust that guy?